I could tell of the story when thousands were fed, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what happened to me. Once I was lost, but now I am found in the book of life. My name's written down. I'm part of the family. I'm a child of the King. This is the story. This is my song to sing.
Testimony today, hymn number one, My Savior's Love. Let's all take a hymnal and stand and sing together. Hymn number one, My Savior's Love. Sing out now.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He can love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, He made them His very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, when with the ransomed in glory His face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of His love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
a big good morning and welcome to Anchor Baptist Church this morning. It's so good to see everybody. Most of you know by now our pastor and Sister Judy are home with the flu, but they're watching live stream right now. We've got some other folk that are sick. Sister Judy Branham is home sick, and Brother Melvin and Sister Candy Wright are home. Brother Melvin's sick this morning. And so we've got a lot of sickness going around, but thank God the Lord's here. We're here, and we're ready to worship the Lord in spirit and truth today. While we're standing, let's go ahead and open with prayer, okay? Let's bow. Father, thank you for the fact that Jesus loved us so much that he died on that cross of Calvary for the sins, not just me and a few others, but Lord, for the sins of the whole world. And Lord, that means everybody in this church house this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and going to do. We pray for those that are sick and need your touch physically in a healing way. We pray that you'll meet the need there. But Lord, bless us here today. If there's somebody here in our midst that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, let today be the glad day of salvation, full and free. And we'll love you, Lord, for what you do. In Christ's name, amen. All right, you may be seated.
Something a little different this morning. We're going to start, I think, the next congregational song. No, I wasn't going to have you stand and shake hands. Let's do the fist bump today. I hate so many people are sick, but let's stand. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. And if you feel you can shake hands without spreading something, you go ahead. Otherwise, just be real careful. Let's go ahead and have a time of fellowship.
Buddy, good to see you here this morning. And we are live stream broadcasting the services of Anchor Baptist Church from coast to coast and around the world. And we're glad to have everybody here today. And so good to see you. We've got a couple of visitors that aren't really first-time visitors. Reggie is here again today. Reggie's from Michigan. And good to see him here. John is here again today with Crystal. And good to have them. And Matt, good to see you. And he's here a lot, but kind of hit and miss because of his job responsibilities. And I think the rest of us are just home folk today. And good to see you. Now, we want to, again, welcome all of you here today and ask you to just worship the Lord with us together. And, again, be in prayer for those who are sick. Again, Pastor and Miss Judy have the flu bug. Pray for them. Sister Judy, I'm not sure what her brand, and I'm not sure what's going on with her, but pray for her. Brother Melvin Wright texted me earlier this morning, and he's got severe back pain. And in his words, he's on heavy meds. And he said, Candy is here to help me. So Melvin and Candy, I hope you're able to watch right now. We're praying for you. And there may be others that need a prayer. And on that, now most of you heard the news this morning about the train collision over in West Columbia. The first thing I thought about was Andrews. So that's not Andrews' train line. So he has nothing to do with that. But do pray for those that were injured and families of those that were killed this morning. The attention of the nation will be on Columbia for the next few days probably because of that. And so just ask the Lord to help in the need of whoever may need for that tragedy this morning, okay? Brian, you're coming to give us some announcements.
All right. Now, as most of you know, a lot of our calendar lately has been kind of wiped out because of the sickness. But we're going to keep pressing on. We're going to leave this stuff that we got coming up on here and trust the Lord that He'll give us the strength to do these things. So you keep these things in mind. This weekend, our youth group, have an activity at Gethsemane Baptist. That's Brother Steve Williamson's church down off number one. They have a service Friday night and a service Saturday morning. I mean, they're two separate events, you know, but our youth are planning to go to both of them. The service Friday is at 7 o'clock in the evening, and on Saturdays at 10 a.m., and they're going to have other activities and food, I think, for both of these events. So y'all are going to leave from the church here to go. If you want to. I mean, I assume a lot of you want to leave from here so you can all ride together to go over there. See Brother Shelton or Sister Brenda about the details when you're leaving. If I get a good number, I'll announce it from the pulpit. But that'll be Friday night and then Saturday morning, leaving from the church to go over there. So if you have any questions, see those folks. And the youth also have another event later this month. That's a lock-in. Any of y'all ever been in a lock-in? In my younger days, I've done that before. And I think I'm going to this one as the old people, as the chaperones. Kind of a reversal there. But what it is everybody comes here and they just come here and they don't sleep. Now, as an adult with a job, this sounds terrible. No, I'm just kidding. But we're going to have a good time. That'll be Friday night / Saturday morning, the 23rd and the 24th. I think it'll kind of kick off around 7 o'clock that evening on Friday and then kind of scatter around 8 a.m. or thereabouts on Saturday morning. There's all kinds of activities I got planned on. There's a paperback here that every parent of every youth needs to pick up that gives you all the details, and we look forward to that. And again, see Brother Shelton if you have any questions about that. So that'll be the 23rd and the 24th. You got a couple weeks to plan for that. Now, this Saturday is the bridal shower for Miss Brittany here at the church. That's at 4 o'clock on Saturday the 10th. So all you ladies, I think, know your roles in that. So now just come and have a good time and honor Brittany with your presence as we celebrate her pending nuptials to Mr. Andrew. All right, and then other things coming up. The Rusty Anchors will be meeting on Tuesday the 13th. That'll be kind of a Valentine's theme meeting for the Rusty Anchors. So that'll be the 13th. That'll be 10 o'clock in the morning here at the church. So all you fine senior folks, Rusty Anchors, can be involved with that on the 13th. And then there's other stuff coming later this month. We'll give you more details on later on. We were going to take Jubilee pledges this morning. We're going to postpone that till next Sunday, so you have another week to pray and discuss and seek what the Lord would have you to give for the Ladies' Jubilee, which is coming up in June. All right, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Shelton. He's got a special announcement for us.
All right. Thank God for everything He's done for us. And I'm here about the tracks. Track challenge. Track challenge for the church. Y'all, we can give out more tracks than what we're doing. I know we can. I'm excited about it. And we actually are... I just want you to grab some tracks. And give them to somebody in hand. That's where I was going to count. I want you to give it to them in hand. And we can do it 1,000 tracks a month as this church and this congregation. I know we can. Our youth is already doing it again, and we've had... I want to take your names. I'm going to take your name. I'm going to challenge you to do it. And we can challenge each other. Brother Joaquin, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to call you out right now. I'm going to challenge you. We're going to give out... I'm going to give out 25 tracks more. I'm going to give out 25 tracks this week. Let's see if you can beat me. 25 tracks this week. Well, that's... Okay, how many do you want to go? I'm serious. That's what it's about. It's a challenge. I'm going to challenge you every Sunday. Brother Steve's got it this morning at the present time. He's giving out 30 tracks this week. We should do more than that as a church, each individual one of us. So more than 30 each, okay? So Brother Steve does again. That's almost 100 right there. Each individual one. Give it out. Give it in hand. That's what I want you to do. If you've given out any tracks this week, come and see me so I can write it down so we can keep a track of it. That's why we're going to keep track of it. Keep each of us accountable, and I'll be able to come up here and tell you how many we've given out. So far, the numbers that I have, we give out 60 tracks this week. We could do more than that. 60 tracks. But God's faithful, God's good, and God will see us give out more. I think we can give out a couple hundred by next week, honestly, if we all try to do it. So let's do that. Also, when it comes to youth meetings, parents meet down here if you can come. The youth meeting is coming up this weekend. Just come out here. If your youth can be involved one way or another, come down and we'd like to talk to you all about it. So.
All right, we will have choir practice this afternoon, 4:30. You've had enough time off to relax and chill or whatever else you do. 4:30 this afternoon for the choir. 417, if you'll take your hymnals again. Let's stand and sing another great song of testimony. My burdens rolled away, 417. Let's sing together now. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took Him at His word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. Happy since my burdens rolled away. I remember when my burdens rolled away, that I feared would never leave night or day. Jesus showed to me the lost, so I left them at the cross. I was glad when my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. I am singing since my burdens rolled away. There's a song within my heart night and day. I am living for my King, and with joy I shout and sing, hallelujah, all my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I am happy since my burdens rolled away.
Good singing. Thank you. You see.
All right. Thank you for that great, great song. I should have mentioned it's good to have Sister Gail back at church today. She's missed a lot of services with the flu bug, and so she's back today. And we're glad to have her, of course, and everybody else. All right. Now it's offering time. So I want you to be faithful as the Lord has told us to and get out that tithe and that offering. And you fellas, come on up here and let's get ready to receive that from God's people today. Okay. Brother Rick, why don't you lead us in a prayer for this?
Get your Bibles ready in just a few minutes. Brother Steve will have the message for us for the morning. He always has something good for us. I want you to be attentive. Before he comes in, my family's going to sing, "You've Been Good to Me."
Been good to me.
have to say, God's been good to us. And I was looking out at the congregation, some tears coming down and some hands lifted up and some heads bowed. And I tell you what, God's been good to us. Well, let me turn this thing on before I forget. And we'll... I think, John, I'm on now. Is that right? All right. I want to take a text today. By the way, pray for Pastor and Sister Judy. I am privileged, I feel like, to be able to stand here and bring a message from the Word of God. But I promise you, I'd much rather be sitting right down there this morning and listening to Pastor preach, because I need that. And so we want to pray for him and pray to get back on his feet real, real soon. And Sister Judy, too, and the others that are not feeling well. I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and that's page 1269 in your Scofield Reference Bible. So you that are watching by live stream, if you can take your Bible and follow along with us, that'll be a blessing as well. I'm going to pick up at verse number 13. These are very familiar verses, and many of us could probably quote many of them. But look with me at verse number 13. Paul speaking to the church at Thessalonica and saying these words. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, that word ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It just means there were some things that probably they didn't have a full grasp of and a full understanding of. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. That word means that they've died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Back on Saturday, January the 13th, that's just been a couple, 3 weeks ago now, at 8:07 a.m. local time in Hawaii, you remember what happened. The Hawaii Emergency Management Agency activated its civilian early warning system with a message sent to cell phones across the state. And here's the message that went out that early Saturday morning. Ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. Now, we've, of course, learned about 28 minutes after that it was a false alarm. But I wondered during those 28 minutes what the reaction of all the people in Hawaii must have been. We saw some videos of people lowering their children down into the... they take the manhole covers off of the drainage system, the sewage system, and drop their children down in there to try to protect them. I read many accounts of young mothers and fathers that would gather their family together in the bathroom or in the basement of the home and clinging together and just hoping that somehow they could survive that incoming ballistic missile. And we heard many stories of panic and people sending texts and trying to call, many of them saying, thinking they were saying goodbye and I love you for the last time. And all of that happened in Hawaii. Of course, it didn't take long for it to hit
here. We learned of that and all that's been going on since then. But I thought about that message that whoever the gentleman was that did that, I guess he's had a lot of strife and stress since then. But I wondered about that message, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill. And I thought immediately when I heard about that and after we learned that the crisis was over and all clear was given and there was no real threat, the first thing I thought of was that Jesus is coming someday. Really, that's what I thought. And I wondered if somehow somebody or some way people could send out a text message or a phone message or somehow the word be spread all around the world. Jesus is coming soon. Prepare now. And then maybe the words at the end of that, this is not a drill. I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning on this. Jesus is coming soon. And this is not a drill. Jesus is coming soon. And this is not a drill. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for the words of the Bible. Lord, when I read things like that, I immediately believe them. And I believe them because the Bible says so. Lord, in the next few minutes this morning, give me understanding and clarity of thought. And help me, Lord, today to bring forth words that you've laid upon my heart that we might encourage people that Jesus is coming soon. Or, Lord, at the same time, that we warn people that Jesus is coming soon. And, Lord, help me with all that's within me. Get across the best way I can that this is not something just to say. Lord, help me to get across that this is not a drill. And we'll praise your name in Christ's name. Amen. I want to give you, by way of introduction this morning, some thoughts from these verses. And then at the end of the time, the short time we have left, I want to give you four ways on why we ought to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But the Bible says, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Again, I would not have anybody at Anchor Baptist Church this morning, anybody watching this morning, anybody that I bump into, that I hand a tract to, Brother Shelton, I would not have any of them to be ignorant or unknowledgeable about the fact that Jesus is coming soon. Brother Shelton, that ought to help us to pass out a tract. If we really believe that Jesus is coming soon. And I'm here to tell you, He really is coming soon. I hope you believe that. But there's a few things by way of introduction I want you to note. Number one, the proclamation of the coming of the Lord. I believe it because the Bible says so. Look, for example, right here at, verse 14. The proclamation of the coming of the Lord. The Bible says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that this morning? I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for my sins, died for your sins, died for the sins of the world. I believe with all my heart that He rose again. And if we believe that, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And the proclamation says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. I'm telling you, the scripture proclaims that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That Paul believed it when he wrote these words. Preachers down through the generations have preached it and believed it with all their heart. We still preach it and teach it and proclaim it today that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. Well, Brother Steve, He hadn't come yet. He sure hasn't. We're still here. But I tell you what, He might come before I finish this sentence. Well, He hadn't come yet. But He might come before I finish the next sentence. Well, He hadn't come yet. But do you believe He could come before I finish the next sentence? He could. And this is not a drill. Listen, we believe it because the Bible proclaims it. Look, the Bible proclaims a lot of things that we need to believe today. The Bible proclaims that we're sinners, lost and undone before God. And that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad the Bible proclaims that God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world, to die for you and for me. The Bible proclaims it. The Bible proclaims that Jesus was buried. The Bible proclaims that Jesus rose again the third day. And I'm here to remind you again, I can't say it enough, this is not a drill. The Bible proclaims that Jesus is coming back one day. And it could be before the end of the next sentence. Well, okay. Could be, Brother Ed. The proclamation of the Scripture. But then number two, by way of introduction, I want you to see the participants of the coming again of the Lord. The first participant, look with me at verse number 16. For the Lord Himself. I'm here to tell you that the major participant in the coming of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is coming back one day. And He could come before I finish the next sentence. But I'm telling you, Jesus is coming back. God could send Gabriel. God could send Moses. God could send anybody. But you know what? Jesus is coming back to take you and me home one day. Jesus Himself is coming back. I tell you what, I'm glad that Jesus died for me. I'm glad Jesus was buried for me. I'm glad Jesus rose again for me. I'm glad that Jesus saved me. I'm glad that Jesus keeps me. I'm glad that Jesus is all that for me. But I'm just as glad that someday, by the proclamation of the Word of God, Jesus is coming back for me one day. Do you believe that? For the participants of the coming of the Lord, number one, are the Lord Himself. But there's a whole bunch of other participants. Not only the Savior, but the saints are going to participate in the coming of the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 16, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen, those who have trusted Christ as their Savior down through the eons of time, all of them from the ancient days until right now, they've trusted Christ, they've died, they've been buried, they're waiting for the coming of the Lord. Every one of them, if they've trusted Jesus as their Savior, is going to participate in the coming of the Lord. But listen, not only them, but look at verse number 17. Then we, which are alive and remain. Listen, that means all of us who've not yet crossed over. We've not yet died. We're still here. Thank God for that. We're here. And one of these days, Jesus is coming back for the saints of the church of God. The participants are the Savior and the saints. But listen, there's somebody that won't participate in the coming of the Lord, and that's the sinner who's never trusted Christ as their own Savior. The participants. So the proclamation, the participants. Well, then, I want you to know for a moment the power of the coming of the Lord. Look at that word in verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That word caught up is actually a military term. It means this when you look it up. The word caught up means a strong, irresistible, and violent act. It means to seize by force, to carry off by force, and to claim for oneself eagerly. The Lord chose to use the phrase caught up to meet the Lord in the air. I tell you, Jesus is coming back one day in the air. And you know what? Who's the prince and the power of the air? The devil himself. And look, I kind of believe this in my heart. I believe it'll be so. The devil, he ain't going to like it when the Lord comes back. And I believe Brother Joaquin, if he could, while the saints are going up by the millions and to meet the Lord in the air. I believe, now this may sound silly to you, but I don't put it past the devil. I believe he'll try to grab onto the heels of some of us and to pull us back and to keep us from going. But the Bible says that we're going to be caught up. And the force of that word means that Jesus is going to claim us eagerly as his very own. And you know what it means? The forces of the world, the forces of this devil, the forces of sin and all that's in the world ain't going to keep us from going up one day. There's a song, a spiritual song I used to try to sing. It goes something like this. There ain't no grave that's going to hold this body back. Yeah, you ever sung that before? There ain't no grave that's going to hold this body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, I'm going to get up out of the ground, because there ain't no grave that's going to keep this body down. There ain't no grave, there ain't no devil, there ain't no world, there ain't no sin, there ain't no nothing that's going to keep us from going up into to the Lord in that rapture of the church, the power of the rapture. And then by way of introduction and lastly, I want you to note the promises of the coming of the Lord. Look with me at verse number 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. I want you to note the promise of reunion. Look, all of us have had loved ones who've gone on before, and we miss them. Brother Ed, you've had a grandma just recently, and all of us have had some. But I'm here to tell you the promise of the coming of the Lord is the reunion of the loved ones that we'll have with those gone on before. One of these days we'll see mom and dad if they've trusted Christ as their Savior, and if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. We'll see loved ones. I was walking through a graveyard just the other week looking at names of people that I've loved all my saved life. And why, I'll see them again. I'll see them again. I'll see them again. I'll see them again one day. That's the promise of reunion. And then there's the promise of revelation. The Bible says, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Then look at the next. To meet the Lord in the air. The promise of revelation is that we're going to see Jesus one day. Yeah, we've never seen him yet. I believe him because the Bible says so. And I believe, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. If someone, Brother Joe, as big as Jesus, moves into my heart, you got to know that he's real. But one of these days, there's a promise of revelation. I'm going to be seeing Jesus one day. And then there's a promise, not only of reunion and revelation, but the promise of rejoicing. Look at verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And I tell you, as we often read these words at the graveside of a loved one who's gone on to heaven, there's sorrow in our heart. But the Bible says we sorrow not as those which have no hope. We have hope, don't we, that we'll see them again. But there's sorrow. And those words, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That gives me a great encouragement to know that one day Jesus is coming back. And he could come back before I finish this sentence. He's not here yet, but someday soon. Well, with that introduction behind me, here's what I really want to try to get across to you today. And I hope these words and these thoughts will motivate you to really, with eager anticipation, look for the coming of the Lord. Because he could come back before I finish this sentence. He could. There are four or five things here that I don't want the Lord to find about me when he comes back. Number one, I don't want the Lord, when he comes, to find me unsaved. I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. Many years ago, going on 41 plus years ago now, I was a lost freshman at the University of South Carolina. I remember back when I was at the university going to classes and And that was my life. I was happy there among all these people. There were people there with what I later learned to be the FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I don't know about what all that place, that organization is today. But I remember maybe once every couple weeks or so, Shelton, there'd be students that were part of that organization that would be on campus at USC. You know what they were doing? They were giving out tracts. And I guess during my freshman year, I probably took maybe 9 or 10 tracts from those people. But Shelton, I don't recall ever reading a word of any of them. They'd hand it to me, I'd take it, and you know what? Sometimes I'd drop it on the ground, just throw it on the ground, throw it in the trash, stick it in a textbook, and I'd never read it. And I was lost as I could be. But I remember that, Brother Shelton, getting them tracts. But during the summer of 1976, I had a grandma that loved me with all her heart. She was a sickly woman, and all she wanted me to do was get right with the Lord. And she was near unto death, and she called me to her bedside. She was in the hospital. We thought she was going to die. And my grandma, we called her Mama. Mama said, "Son, Stephen," said, "if the Lord helps me get well, I want you to promise me that you'll take me to church one day." Well, I didn't want to go to church, and I also figured she wasn't going to get well. So you know what I did? I promised her. I did. I said, "All right, Mama, I'll take you to church one day." Would you believe she survived that sickness? That probably in February or March of 1976. And she got out of the hospital. And then it was Mother's Day, 1976. That Sunday, Mother's Day. Some of y'all were there that Sunday. My grandma called me up on the phone. And she said, "Stephen?" I said, "Mama, why in the world are you calling me so early in the morning on this Sunday?" She said, "You remember that promise you made me?" I said, "No, I did." She said, "Today you're going to take me to church for Mother's Day." I said, "Oh, can we do it next Sunday?" "No, it won't be Mother's Day next Sunday. You're going to do it today." Well, my grandma had a way. If she told you to do something, you just had to do it. All right. And so I said, "All right." So I went to her. I got up. I got dressed quick. You know, and I went to her house not far away. And I said, "Where are we going to church?" And she named a church. I said, "No, we ain't going to that church." "But I heard about that church. We're not going there." "Yes, we are." "No, we're not." "Yes, we are." And guess what? We did. And that Mother's Day, 1976, I went to church, really, for the first time. I'd been to churches before, but nowhere where I'd heard the gospel preached. Nowhere where I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Nowhere where I found people, and I'm looking at several of them now. Nowhere where I found people that acted like they were happy I was there. Just a scraggly looking, long haired fella, you know, a hippie, you know. And here I was at church. And yeah, I had red hair back then, and a lot of it. and my grandma was sitting there with me. But listen, for the first time, I heard that Jesus died for me. I heard that I was a sinner, that if I didn't get saved, I was going to die and go to hell. I was unsaved. Well, I just kind of brushed it off and went on home. But the next Sunday came. And I woke up. My grandma didn't call me. It was just the next Sunday after that Mother's Day. My grandma didn't call me, but somebody else was ringing my bell that morning. It was the Holy Ghost. It said, "Son, you need to go back to church." I said, "Oh, no, it's Sunday. You better go to church." And I learned that if the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, you better say amen, okay? Well, I got up and I went to church by myself. And you know what? There were all of the people. "Well, Stephen, you're back. You're back." Yeah. And just people hugging my neck that I was glad that I was there. And boy, I just felt like that's where I need to be. Well, you know what? Sunday after Sunday, I was unsaved. I'd hear that gospel. I knew I was lost. I knew I was unsaved. Until finally, the last Sunday of August, 1976, August the 29th, that crazy preacher man, he used these words and looking right at me in that pew and said, the saddest words in the English language are too late. Too late. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He might come, and the preacher didn't say this, before the end of this sentence. But he did say, before you take your next breath, Jesus could come. And if you're unsaved, it'll be too late. Well, I tell you, that's all I could take. Right from, I let go of holding on to that pew, and I stood up. Listen, I believe with all my heart that when I stood up and took that first step, I believe Jesus saved my soul right then and there. Years later, I found out that as I was getting up to make a profession of faith in Christ and to accept the Lord as my Savior, 1,000 miles away up in Detroit, Michigan, there was a young fella, 2 years younger than I was. He was getting up in his church service that morning, too, to let everybody know that he had gotten saved at camp the Thursday before that. That was our pastor. Brother Shelton, I imagine probably within the same half hour of time that I got up to get born again and he got up to tell everybody what had happened to him. I believe that. Well, listen, when the Lord comes and he could come, well, you know, he won't find me unsaved. How about you? Will the Lord find you unsaved when he comes? Listen, don't let that happen. He's going to come. He's going to come, and if you're left behind, you're going to suffer all kinds of horror and misery in this world. But that's nothing compared to what you'll suffer in the depths of hell forever and forever. The fire and the fury and the torment and the most horrible thing, separation from the Son of God and all your loved ones forever and forever and forever. Steve, you're frightening me. Would to God I could terrify you to get up from your seat right now. You don't need to wait for the invitation and come to the front of this church and say, the Lord could come at any time. I want to be saved. I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. But number two, I don't want the Lord to find me unspiritual when He comes. If you've got your Bible there, turn over to First, you're in 1 Thessalonians, you can keep the same page open there. Look at verse 19 of chapter 2. I don't want the Lord to find me unspiritual when He comes. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when? At His coming, for ye are our glory and joy. Listen, when the Lord comes, I don't want Him to find me unsaved. I don't want the Lord to find me unspiritual. There are three words here I think are earmarks of a spiritually minded person. And it ought to be our desire, our goal, Christian now, you that's been born again, we ought to desire with all that's within us to be spiritual people. And here are three marks of that in verse 19 of chapter 2. The first one is hope. Spiritual people are people of hope. It's not a hope that says, well, I hope it happens. No, it's a hope that you know it's going to happen. It's a hope that you know God is in control of your life. It's a hope that you know that no matter what trial or trouble or heartache you may be going through in your Christian walk, it's the hope that you know that God's got His hand on your heart and God has His hand on your life. That's a blessed hope. And that is a mark of a spiritually minded person. But there's another word in verse 19. Hope. But then there's another one. Joy. Listen. Christian people ought to be people of joy. And you know what joy means. J, Jesus first, others second, and yourself third or last. And I promise you, saint, Christian, if you'll practice that in your life, put Jesus first in everything, put others second in everything, put yourself last in everything, you know what? You'll be full of joy. You will. It's a promise of the Word of God. And you will be a spiritual person. Listen, I believe that. I bump shoulders with people, with Christians with sad faces. And, you know, got the sticking out the jaw and all that. I see them. Ralph, you take that scowl off your face. There you go. Ralph Hale is one of the most spiritual people I know because of the joy that's in his heart. And I want to be like that. We all want to be like that. I want Jesus to find me when he comes full of joy in my heart. But then there's another word in verse 19, a mark of a spiritual person, crown of rejoicing. Listen, spiritual people are rejoicing people. Yeah. Spiritual people like to rejoice. We like to rejoice at church. We like to rejoice at the house. We like to rejoice when we hear a good song. I love to rejoice when I give out a track. This morning at Bojangles Shelton, I gave a track, one of them, Would You Like to Get Rich Quick? Or what? I keep forgetting the title of it. How to Get Rich and Keep It. That's what it is. And I gave that track to a fella in line there at Bojangles. He said, I can get rich by reading this. I said, you sure can. It's a guarantee. And you know what? I was full of joy because I know it's true. And what made it more joyful, as I was leaving, he was sitting at his table reading it. Listen, I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. Number two, I don't want the Lord to find me unspiritual. Number three, I don't want the Lord to find me unfaithful when he comes. He could come at any moment. I don't want the Lord to find me unfaithful. Let me just read this to you out of 1 John chapter 2. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. And he shall one day, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. That word confidence is a word that speaks of faithfulness. That we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When the Lord comes, and he is one day, I don't want him to find me unfaithful. I want him to find me faithful to read my Bible and faithful in prayer, faithful to come in church. Well, listen, what if it was a Sunday night and the Super Bowl's on TV and somebody decides, well, I'm not going to church. Why? Well, the Super Bowl's on. What? Huh? What? And you know what? It would be my prayer if somebody told me that none of y'all would do that. But it would be my prayer that, Lord, while that Super Bowl's on, come on now, Lord. Come on now. Come on. Come on. If the Lord comes, he's going to find me in church tonight. I want to be found faithful to what the Lord wants me to do. I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. I don't want him to find me unspiritual. I don't want the Lord to find me unfaithful. Let me read 1 Peter 1:7. Sometimes in life, we have trials of faith, don't we? The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want the Lord to find me faithful when he comes. I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. I don't want him to find me unspiritual. I don't want him to find me unfaithful. Number four, I don't want the Lord to find me unthankful. If you flip a page in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look with me at verse number 18. in everything. Now, how many things is everything? Could it refer to the coming of the Lord? It sure does. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Church, Christian, the very least thing we can be is thankful. Thankful that God saved us. Thankful that God blesses us. Thankful that God keeps us. But I'm telling you, thankful to know that one day Jesus is coming back. And I thank the Lord for that. It helps me. It helps me keep on keeping on to know that one day He's coming back. I don't want the Lord to find me unsaved. I don't want the Lord to find me unspiritual. I don't want the Lord to find me unfaithful. I don't want the Lord to find me unthankful. But as I close this morning, I don't want the Lord to find me unexpectant. Take your Bible, turn to Titus, chapter number 2. Titus, chapter number 2. That's page 1284. And verse number 13. Titus, chapter 2, and verse number 13. Let's see what the Bible says. Looking for. Sometimes when I know grandchildren are coming to visit, you know, we'll be sitting inside and maybe they're coming for a visit for Christmas or something. And Mimi and Papa, if we know they're coming and they're going to be there, we'll be on the front porch. Where they at? We're looking for them. And other times, we know somebody's coming, or something's going to happen, and we're looking for that to happen. Let's finish the verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. With all that's within me, with all that I have in my body, in my soul, in my spirit, I want the Lord to find me looking for Him when He comes. Years ago, we were on downtown Main Street here in Columbia. I bet this has been 35 years ago. And we were trying to pass out tracts. But there was one in our group that he was just standing on the corner there on Main Street and one of them streets. And all he was doing was this. And that's all he did. And while he was doing that, you should have seen the people. They'd come up, and you know what happened, don't you? Everybody else started looking up like that. And they're kind of, and here he just, there were dozens of people looking up just like that. And finally, one of them said, "Mister, what are you looking for?" He said, "Jesus could come at any moment. And He could come before I finish this sentence." No, he didn't say that. And you know what? That is a person looking for the coming of the Lord. The Bible said looking for that blessed hope. I tell you what, we're getting out of this world one day. We're leaving all this sorrow behind. We're leaving heartache behind. We're going to leave the flu behind, Pastor Rick. And we're going to leave it all. That's a blessed hope, isn't it? And when we're going to leave it? When Jesus comes again. The glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation 22:20, "He which testifieth these things saith," this is Jesus speaking now, "surely I come quickly. He hadn't come yet, but he might come. Well, you know. Amen. And here is the last prayer in the Bible where the saints of God, in one accord, they're saved, they're spiritual, they're faithful, they're thankful, they're expecting. And in one accord, the saints of the church of God pray out, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." That's how expectant I want to be. When that gentleman in Hawaii, back at 8:07 a.m., issued that warning, when the news first came, there were excuses given. It was a shift change. We didn't know what was happening. He pushed the wrong button. He did this. He did that. But you know what's come out in the last couple of days, don't you? Do you know why that guy pushed that button? He really believed that the threat was imminent. Yeah, you look it up. He spoke anonymously. They shamed him. His life has been threatened. And I heard the words out of his mouth on the internet. "I did it," he said, "because I really believed it was going to happen." And that's what he said. Listen, I believe Jesus is coming. And you know what? This is not a drill. He is coming soon. Now, if you're unsaved, what can I say? What can I do? What can any of us say or do to encourage you right now to make up your mind that you're going to get saved now because Jesus might come in the very next moment? What can I say to get you to do that? I don't know what. But the Holy Ghost, I know, is tugging at your heart. You don't need to respond to me. You need to respond to what the Holy Ghost is dealing in your own heart right now. And when we give the word of invitation, come on up, Brother Tim. When we start singing that hymn of invitation, if I were you, I wouldn't delay a single moment. I'd get up from that seat and I'd come down to this altar and somebody will meet with you and pray with you and show you how you can trust Jesus. But Christian, how about you? I'm telling you, the Lord could come now. Before you have an opportunity to stand up from your seat and come to this altar like the brother already has. He could come before you have that opportunity. And if He does, would He find you unspiritual? Would He find you unfaithful? Would He find you unthankful? Would the Lord find you unexpecting? Would He? Listen, don't let the Lord find you that way when He comes. Be ready. We used to play a game when we were kids, "Ready or not, here I come." And you know what? That
might have been a fun game when we were kids, but it's serious business in your soul right now. Ready or not, Jesus may say, "Here I come." Folk, this is not a drill. Let's stand on our seats right there. If you don't mind, if you're able to stand right where you are. And let's bow for prayer. Father, I'm so encouraged by the Word of God when, even though trials and troubles of life, the Bible tells me that You're coming back one day. And Lord, I believe with all my heart
that that day is not far away. And Lord, that gives me hope that, as the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. Thank You for the comfort of knowing that Jesus is coming back. Lord, I believe right now there are folk in our midst in this church house this morning. They're not comforted. Their heart, their soul is troubled under deep conviction, knowing that if Jesus were to come before they have an opportunity to cry out, Lord, save me from my sin. But Lord, they have that opportunity now because you've not come yet. But Lord, while they have that opportunity now, Lord, I pray that they'll have the courage and the boldness to step out right now. I wouldn't let anybody keep me from being saved and being ready for the coming of the Lord. And Lord, maybe there's some Christian folk here today, something in their life that maybe only they know about. And Lord, you're dealing with their heart about faithfulness or spirituality or being a thankful people. Lord, you're dealing with them. Help them, Lord, when we sing the song, or even now, to come out and do business with God. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Brother Tim, let's sing.